History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
For the month of June, the federal government ran a massive $27 billion surplus.
Boom! How about that from the financial quarters this morning? And we get CPI estimates today. That's consumer price index and inflation and all that good stuff, right on the verge of whether or not Jerome Powell and the Fed will agree to cut rates. That's kind of the headline story today, in my opinion. I know there's lots of stuff going on, but I think that's one of the big stories. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy, of course, that you're with us this morning, and we are just trying to cover it all. It's just everything goes 100 miles an hour these days. You got Kim St. Ange in here and Ethan Bright. Well, I get Sue in here with traffic here before long. Good morning. How's everybody doing?
We're good.
Good?
Yeah.
I tell you, I had to do a little bit of work outside of my house yesterday, and I melted. Can I just tell you that? So I was going to cook smash burgers for dinner. That was the plan. Mark's going to cook smash burgers. Had the patties all, had the little things, the little patties of meat all ready to go, ready to go out there. I go out to my Blackstone, which we just got this year. When I got it, I followed all the rules. I seasoned the darn thing. I had it ready to go. I've cooked on it multiple times. Now, we haven't used it in probably 3 weeks. We were on vacation. We were out of town, all this stuff. I open this thing up, and there's a coating of rust on it. And I'm like, now, wait a minute. Nobody warned me about that. So I had to spend an hour plus outside last night scrubbing this thing down to get all the rust off of it and then recoating it to get the surface back to black again, where you could actually cook on it. And I was soaked. It was so humid outside.
So do you think the rust, like, was there leftover food or something
no,
on it?
No, I cleaned it. And
no,
I,
it's probably
and
moisture.
And I dried it off. And I get online, and Blackstone says, oh, well, you know, occasionally, if you live in a high humidity area, and I'm like, for God's sake, I live in St. Louis. It's like living in a sweat box.
Well, now we'll have to check because we just got ours this year, and we use it all the time, and my husband will meal prep on it. So we'll cook tons of steak. We've been getting this filet mignon from Costco.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. We'll cook all this filet mignon and onions and asparagus and chicken, and we'll just eat through it the whole week. We have something to grab in the refrigerator, which is so nice.
Well, maybe
good
it's
to note
for lack of use over 3 weeks and all the rain and the humidity and all of that, but I was not expecting that. I thought I had already cured this thing once. I didn't know you had to keep going back and doing that. Have you ever had that problem, Ethan? Do you have one?
Yeah, I've got a small one indeed. But I don't use it as much. It's like for camping.
Yeah.
So I'll get in there and they'll
well,
be rusty.
It says,
there is a rubber thing that supposedly you can buy. It's like a rubber mat that you can set on top of it.
Oh, I've seen that online.
So I think it'll keep the moisture
off. I get online and it says, store in a cool, dry place. Where am I going to carry this thing into my basement?
You can't store your Blackstone in your kitchen.
In your house?
We've got the big one.
I don't know.
Put it in your living room. Michelle will love that.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
I looked at her and I'm like, we don't have a cool, dry place other than the basement. I'm not lugging this heavy SOB up and down the stairs.
Look into those rubber mats.
I will have to look into that for sure. All right. That was my little adventure yesterday, and it was not fun. I did not enjoy that one little bit. All right, we got lots of good stuff for you today. We got Joe Concha from Fox News coming on a little later. I've been anxious to have him on the air, but he does have a new book out, so we can talk to him about that. But the time we get him on here, those CPI numbers will be out, so it'll be interesting to see, you know, in light of a $27 billion surplus for the month of June. And here's another reason why Jerome Powell has no more excuses to cut interest rates, right? Inflation's not done what they claimed it was going to do because of tariffs. And instead, we're running a surplus in the federal government for the month of June. Now, will that continue? I don't know. Tariffs are going up again in August. And it's tariff revenue that caused this. So take it for what it's worth, but we're going to get Concha in here in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. John Lamping is going to join us. Todd Pyro is coming up as well in the 7 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that. We're going to talk a little bit more about suppressors in 2A Tuesday. We got a good show for you. Ethan, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Democrats didn't put the Jeffrey Epstein thing into the public domain. This was a conspiracy that Donald Trump, Pam Bondi, and these MAGA extremists have been fanning the flames of for the last several years.
Yeah, but Hakeem Jeffries wants the names released. So he wants to blame it on MAGA, but he also wants the names released. I wonder how many of his donors are on there.
And I ask Jews all over the world to consider what this man, Benjamin Netanyahu, and his right-wing government is doing to the Jewish people all over the world.
Mandy Patinkin losing his mind. The left-wing actor from Hollywood is Jewish, but he hates Benjamin Netanyahu.
Brooke and I have often talked about the fact that we can't make MAHA succeed without the partnership of the American farmer. And our job is to help them to open the doors, to make sure that they have adequate resources in their supply chains.
Yep, RFK Jr. is still out there trying to make us healthy again, but he's getting a lot of pushback.
One of the reasons that you're here today is to hear that we are very unhappy, I am, with Russia. But we're very, very unhappy with them, and we're going to be doing very severe tariffs if we don't have a deal in 50 days.
Yeah, there you go. That's what the president announced yesterday. We previewed it a little bit during the show yesterday morning. We figured there was something coming down in terms of punishments or tariffs or the like on Russia. And somebody suggested this. I think I'm not going to give Lindsey Graham credit for it, but I think he floated a bill in the Senate that would have given the president permission to levy tariffs up to 500% on anybody who does business with Russia. That would be putting the screws to him. But you're still not going to stop North Korea and some of the crazies from dealing with Russia, Iran, because they're peas in a pod. But still, if you could stop other countries, like there were last time I checked, and I'll have to go back and double check on this, there were still members of the European Union buying natural resources like oil and natural gas from Russia, which Russia was using the proceeds from to fund the war in Ukraine. So something like that might hit some of our allies in the pockets if they were dumb enough to tie themselves to the natural resources of Russia. Donald Trump warned them about that way back in 2017. I remember when it happened. Oh, they were snotty about it. They could, how dare you tell us who we can get our energy from? We're going to shut down our nuclear reactors because, oh my goodness, it might hurt the environment, and we're going to buy our oil and natural gas from Russia. And Donald Trump's like, why would you give Vladimir Putin that kind of leverage over yourself? That's dumb. That just defies common sense. And lo and behold, look what happened. So here we find ourselves again in this situation. At least he's got some buy-in from the Secretary General who he had over there from NATO and a few of the others who were in town this week. So I don't know where that goes. I'm glad to see the president taking a strong hand with Russia. I'm not one of these people that's a hand wringer saying, oh, he should have done this sooner. His point is to make peace. But as he proved in Iran, if you FAFO, right? If you screw around long enough, you're going to find out we're not playing here. And maybe finally, Putin's about to find that out, and I don't know what impact that might have on his decision-making or not. But don't be surprised if 6 months from now we're talking about a negotiated peace between Russia and the Ukraine. Maybe you could argue in hindsight it's the direction the president should have gone 2 months ago or 3 months ago, but I'm going to trust him, his direction on this. Hey, by the way, there's some new information out about the Epstein list. Did you hear this?
Well, are you talking about what Alan Dershowitz said?
Yeah.
Yeah, that it's not Trump who's suppressing it. It's these judges out of Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure how I feel about it. I'd like to think that that's true, and maybe there's truth to it, but I still am convinced that it's not just Trump. It's many people who are worried about somebody they know who's on that list.
It's a long explanation. I'm going to let you hear it directly from Alan Dershowitz when we come back here in just a couple of minutes. Ethan, let's get to our national anthem.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Anthem, please. There was abuse of children on that island, and they were people who were elected officials or Hollywood actors or whoever the hell they were. I think the public should know about that. That said, you can't legally slander someone and ruin their reputation if there's not some evidence other than a flight manifest. There'd have to be some video or somebody, one of the victims, willing to testify to that this individual harmed me when I was underage on that island. So I think that's part of their challenge, and I'm not excusing it. There's still a court case somewhere on this. All I'm saying is listen to Dershowitz explain why he thinks it's the judges and not the Trump administration. He said there's not a physical list that they could just release. So I want you to listen to the long version of Alan Dershowitz on last night with Chris Cuomo. See what you think.
Is the government hiding a client list or anything that the Trump administration could release tonight?
No, there is no client list. There never has been a client list. A client list suggests that Jeffrey Epstein made a list of people to whom he trafficked women. What there is a redacted FBI affidavit from accusers. There are several of them, from accusers that accuse Jeffrey, that accuse various people of having improper sex. And that has been redacted. The names of the people accused have been blacked out. Now, of course, because I was the lawyer and I did only investigations, I know who all these people are. I could figure out, based on everything that I saw, who Mr. X is, Mr. Y is, and Mr. Z. I can tell you right now, none of them are public figures who are currently in office. Some of them were previously in office. Some of them are dead. But there is no client list. And the redactions could be undone if you go to court. So many of the things that are being suppressed by two judges in Manhattan. And they're doing it largely to protect the alleged accusers who are, in the view of the judges, victims.
What do you think?
It feels like he's contradicting himself, because just a few days ago, the way he phrased it was, I've seen the list. I know who's suppressing it. I know why they're suppressing it.
Well, he just explained
that. I know. But now he's saying it's not really a list of clients. He's saying it's a list of, it's not quite, I feel like, what he was initially saying it was. It just feels like it's changing a little bit. Like every day there's a new explanation of, okay, well, it's actually really not that. It's really this.
Do you think he's doing it to protect the Trump administration? I mean, I feel like Dershowitz has been alienated from the elite class on the East Coast because he dared to disagree with the Democrats over their lawfare against Trump and a lot of other things. But I've never gotten the impression that Dershowitz is a pro-Trumper necessarily, that he supports everything Donald Trump does. I think he's giving a legal explanation in a way that I've been unable to explain because I'm not a lawyer. But what I've said is, if there are accusations against people that they went to this island, I don't understand why those cases haven't been brought to court. That's my question here. So the FBI did the investigation and turned the stuff over to the courts. Why isn't the Department of Justice going ahead with cases where a victim who claimed she was underage at the time claimed she had sex with Hollywood star blank blank, mm-hmm. whoever that is? If there was enough evidence, why didn't that case go to court? I don't know. Mm-hmm. He's talking about two judges in Manhattan. He said they're the ones suppressing the names.
Right.
But you can't just slander someone. I mean, in Diddy's case, a lot of people came forward and names were named in the course of that trial as to who was there and who wasn't there and who he called in to have sex with his girlfriend while he watched. And I mean, it was lurid.
Well, there are also videos and pictures.
Right.
From the Diddy stuff.
I think there are still lots of questions here, but I think we need to temper our approach to this and back off from thinking there's one list that I could pick up and show you. These are the 25 people that went to Epstein Island, three senators, two House of Representatives, 15 people from Hollywood. I don't know if that sort of list exists.
Well, they're saying that Epstein himself didn't have a list. That's what Dershowitz was saying, right? That it was these young girls, the allegations
they
have made. But then he was also saying it was redacted. So we've all had that happen where we're anticipating some big, you know, wow, this is going to be so informative and all this stuff. And then you get the document and 98% of it's redacted. What does that do?
I am let down by it. There's no doubt. Don't get me wrong. I think I'm completely let down.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kim on a whim.
All right, before I get into what I had planned to talk about, Mark, we were discussing your Blackstone grill, which it sounds like Ethan and I, we all have one. And you were saying how yours rusted after not using it for a few weeks. And when you looked into it, apparently that can happen when you live in, what were they saying, a high humidity climate or something like that?
Thank you. Like between a couple of rivers in the middle of Missouri.
We have listeners who are commenting on our social media pages, which, by the way, you can stream on that. We had somebody from Winnipeg who's joining us now.
Welcome in.
Because it showed up as a recommendation. But I think I've told you before, my brother-in-law's brother, Jeremy, from Iowa, listens to us pretty much every single morning, I think, on a regular basis.
Nice.
And he actually said, please share this with Kim to share with Mark. Blackstone grill tip, especially if you're not going to use it for a while. Last thing before covering it, coat a thin layer of olive oil on it. Much easier to clean, burn off for the next use. Baby oil also works great on a razor blade. Last thing after a shave or a wash. Metal hates water, moisture, and loves oil. There you go. Do you do that?
And here's my thing. You know, I get my Blackstone, put the darn thing together, follow all the instructions about preparing it, seasoning it. I got their own seasoning, which I'm sure is probably the same as anything else you could use. But it says Blackstone on it. I did all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I didn't read anywhere on there that after you're done using it, or if you're going to store it for a while, you should put a light coat of grease on. I didn't read that anywhere.
Maybe I just overlooked it. He'll take tongs. Michael will take tongs and a paper towel and rub olive oil on it.
That's a great idea. I just had never, I didn't know I was supposed to do that. So maybe it's my fault.
Anyway, there you go. Just wanted to add that a little bit.
I mean, I am a man. I don't like to have to read instructions if I don't have to, but I'm pretty sure I read the instructions on that.
Is this the same as when guys don't like to stop and ask for directions somewhere?
I know where we're going.
I don't need help. Come on, I can figure this out myself.
I don't need it now. I got a phone.
Drives my wife crazy when I'll say she'll put in directions to something in her GPS and she'll hit send and she'll be playing it from her side of the car. And I'm like, I need to look at that. Why? Just follow the directions. I'm like, no. I need to look at the map and see which way it's taking us. In my mm-hmm. brain, I need to know because I might disagree with it. She doesn't like when I disagree.
That's the real reason you might disagree with it.
I do that all the time with my wife.
It's funny because we sit here and talk about how many distractions we have behind the wheel, which no doubt we do. Podcasts and you're listening to music and people are texting and heck, people watch movies while they're driving.
Oh
but then I was watching some old documentary. I mean, I say old. Let me clarify here. It was like from probably the, I don't know, early 2000s. It feels old now. It's not old.
I
know.
Super old.
I know. Anyway, there was this woman with, you know, a massive map as she's driving in New York City, and she's trying to navigate. I'm like, that's just as distracting. You just don't think about it that way. That is not safe
either, to be
hoisting up a giant map and trying to track all of that. Whoa, which interstate should I take and which exit am I going on?
I wish my wife was listening right now, but she is still goes to AAA to get a triptych.
Oh, my mom did that for years. She used to print out the MapQuest directions, but she still loved those AAA books. Anytime we were traveling, this is her thing. She can't even poor mom. She can't even defend herself.
Well, I know. I'm just saying. I remember those, and they used to. If you went in there, they would draw the little yellow line showing you which way to go, and you could just flip it as you kept going. And if you opened it, folded out, and it showed you things along the way, like gas stations and other things you could stop at along that particular section of the triptych. In my wife's mind, that's still preferable to her over GPS on a map in front of you. I don't know why.
Well, now we have AI. It's funny because my son had... Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that you clarify that every time because people may have forgotten. It's very complicated, okay? And people put everything into AI. I actually don't have ChatGPT, but it's funny. Easton, our son, had a little... It looked like a rash, and my sister put it in ChatGPT. It's like everything you just put in ChatGPT or Grok. Did you hear that the Pentagon has just started using Grok as part of this $200 million contract with Elon Musk's XAI?
No.
So that just happened yesterday, and they're saying that this could be used across the federal government. Now, it's not clear exactly what they'll be using it for, but I know that this XAI, as they call it, it has custom national security tools. There's AI-powered science and health applications. I mean, it has all kinds of things you can do, I guess, that I have that are way over my head. But I just find it really interesting because they've been very clear that they plan to very much use AI. I've had concerns with it. I still have concerns with it. But I know it can be very helpful. And nowadays, we're all trying to save money, right, and budget and pay off debt and, you know, do the whole Dave Ramsey thing. There was a woman who decided to use AI. And can you tell us what AI is in case people forgot already?
Artificial instrument? What is it?
Yes, that's exactly it. And how many letters is it? I forget.
Two words.
Oh, okay, two words. That's right. Thank you, Kamala Harris and Mark Cox. She decided to use it for something I never would have thought to use it for. Listen to this.
It is day 30 of 30 of my 30-day challenge of every day asking ChatGPT for one task to make money to pay down my $23,000 in credit card debt. I cannot believe we are at the end of this challenge. So today's task was to transfer my remaining balances over to a 0% APR balance transfer to a new credit card, and essentially the debt that I have left over be able to pay it off, hopefully faster.
She says ChatGPT helped her pay off more than $11,000 in debt in 1 month. Now, some of this was her realizing that she had money that she didn't even realize was in, say, an account or Venmo or, for example, and I actually checked into this yesterday for myself after looking into this story. People might not realize that our own state has like basically a huge lost and found where you can go to unclaimed property, type in your name, and you might have hundreds of dollars just sitting there from years ago that you had no idea
the state treasurer's
even existed.
Office does that. Right.
I didn't have anything, unfortunately. I was really disappointed.
You never know.
There was actually somebody with my name who lived at lived very close to an address where I used to live, and it was, like I said, not me. But anyway, I find this really fascinating because it was giving her... It wasn't just about, oh, go check your Venmo. Oh, go check this account. Oh, do that. Like, for example, this is so random. ChatGPT told her to write her total debt number, which you heard her say was about $23,000, on a watermelon and Sharpie and auction it off on eBay as debt art. The post went viral, reached more than 2 million views. Now, she only sold the watermelon for $51. But hey, $51 for a watermelon that you just wrote something on with a Sharpie?
Just proof that our civilization is doomed.
Well, I judge the person more so who bought the watermelon because what are you going to... I guess you eat it, but it's just stupid. But anyway, point is, heck, I never would have thought, like, oh, let's turn to ChatGPT and see if it can help me do something,
but you still
like, you know,
haven't,
pay
I
off
need
my
you
debt.
To explain
where she came up with the $11,000 in 1 month.
So again, some of it was tasks, like little things that she could do as like a side hustle that were like a day of task, like the dumb watermelon thing. But then the other one was, for example, accounts that she didn't know. And the ChatGPT was telling her, go check this account, go check here, go call this bank, go call so, like all these different things. And
safe to assume this wouldn't work for just anyone.
No, because of course she had some of the money sitting in accounts that she didn't realize. But I'll guarantee you some people listening right now have money sitting in an account and you don't even realize it. Or you pay for stupid things like different subscriptions and you started it years ago and you forgot to cancel the trial in time.
Just out of interest.
You could cancel it and save yourself money.
Just out of interest, and I'm sure this will be controversial. But what if we find out that whoever programs this AI, is this Grok specifically? That Citibank is one of the companies that paid to finance this thing.
And suddenly, Citibank.
It's recommending that you open a new zero-interest credit card where you have zero interest on your balance for 12 months. I mean, that's fair. You always have to find out what somebody's motivation is if they're giving you advice on something like that.
That's true. We always say follow
the
money.
Are you making any money off of it is what I want to know.
I agree.
I don't know. I mean, I'm if you can eliminate $11,000 in a month without having to go stand on a street corner somewhere, good for you. That's a lot of money to come up with.
I mean, so Grok is specific to X, which again, I've never used it, but I see people all the time who will post whatever question they ask. Grok,
what does this mean? I see that in like in the answers to posts on X.
Yeah.
Grok, explain what this means. Like, are you too dumb to understand what it means? You just read the post. I don't know.
Sometimes
it
just adds context.
Oh, I don't
know. Or it's just, I've never used it, but sometimes it's just interesting to see what Grok would tell you.
How
These
about
are very detailed
replace the word
answers.
Grok with brain?
Well, a lot of people don't
brain.
Have a functioning brain these days, Mark, and so they have to turn
means.
To artificial intelligence. That's part of the problem. People don't know how to use their brains anymore
Grok,
because we just turn to AI and we use our phones for everything. I mean, think about how many times I use the calculator on my phone. No one's doing math in their head anymore. No one has to remember a phone number anymore. Everything is just at the touch of a button. We just do. It does all the work for us. Ask the average adult how to do, like, show me how you do long division. I used to rock it at long division. I was so proud of myself. I'd do, like, 50 numbers and just
wow.
So proud of myself. And I was like a bragging thing when I was younger. Couldn't even, I had not a clue how to do that anymore. I completely forget. Because why would I need to? I just pull up my phone
That's
or I pull
what YouTube
up
is for.
Artificial intelligence
you?
Or YouTube. People learn how to do work at their home, legit projects by watching YouTube.
I have been trying to figure out how to fix my jet ski via YouTube, and it has not helped me yet.
Now, that might
maybe
be
I should
maybe
ask
that's
Grok.
Operator error, Mark.
That,
yeah, ask
that
Grok.
Is. And I still, even though I put out that plea weeks ago, still have not come up with an individual or the name of an individual who can help me fix my jet ski. Other than taking it to one of these really expensive shops where they're going to charge me more than the 23-year-old jet ski is worth in order to get it running again.
Do you have ChatGPT? Because you can download it on your phone, apparently. I bet
it's,
you, as a
it's
challenge,
not gonna help
as,
me.
As a challenge, just for fun.
My mechanical abilities are too limited. I'm at the point now where I've done everything I can do without pulling the engine out of it, and I don't have the capability
well,
of doing
that.
Well,
maybe ChatGPT would be honest with you and say, Mark, it sounds like a personal
Mark,
problem to us.
Time to take this thing to the junkyard and drop it off, is what it would say to me.
I'd like to see the answer.
All right, Kim, food for thought. We're going to be back in just a minute.
If you're feeding a person a crap sandwich with a smile, it's still a crap sandwich.
That's true. If you ask for advice, you can generally expect to get a lot of grief, which is what I'm getting online right now for not being able to fix my jet ski.
Well, I said you need to ask
Mark,
ChatGPT.
Could you just trade it in on a new one? Because you've got several hundred dollars of aggravation in it now. Actually, I got about $30 of aggravation and a lot of time and advice from friends who have basically worked on these things over the years. And at the end of the day, we think we've, my friend Mike and I think we've narrowed it down to the Stator, STATOR, which unfortunately is in the very bottom of the jet ski. If you've ever owned one of these,
You don't have any space to get to that thing. So it strikes me the ultimate solution to this would be pulling out the guts of this thing to get to that to fix it. There's no way to get to it from underneath. So I don't know. I didn't invest a lot of money in this to begin with because I don't use it very often. But when I'm going to the lake, I wanted to have it to use. And now it may have reached the end of its usefulness to me because I am not going to spend more to fix it than I paid for it in the first place. And I just don't know that there's a good solution. What I was hoping for was that somebody out there listening to me complain about this might be some sort of a shade tree mechanic who's fixed a lot of these Kawasaki 750s over the years and could say, I know just how to do that easily.
Did you put it in ChatGPT?
That has not happened. ChatGPT is not going to help me.
I'm
going to
laugh so much if that's the answer that you get. Like, it's the answer.
ChatGPT is going to say you should sell that piece of junk and just rent one the next time you go to the lake.
But wouldn't It'll you like to, at least like to see
bigger
that answer?
And faster? I don't know. You know, like you go to the lake, it's $400 to rent a boat for the day. I don't know how much the jet skis are, a couple hundred bucks. But that's a lot more than I've spent so far to try to repair this thing. I don't know. This is the thing about it. When you ask for advice, you open yourself up for criticism. That's fine. I'm open to which is why the last time I went to the range, St. Louis West, and posted a picture of myself on the shooting range, I got criticized on Facebook by people who are better shooters than me, analyzing what I was doing wrong from one photo I put on Facebook.
What did they say you were doing wrong?
It's something the way I was holding my hands or something. I can tell from the way you're holding that gun. Are your shots pulling down and to the right? And I'm like, how in the hell could you tell that from one picture that I posted on Facebook that somebody took over my shoulder?
Wait, were they?
When I was shooting?
Were they going to the right?
No, they weren't. But I mean, honestly, yeah. Everybody's
been shaking his head. Yes.
Everybody's got an opinion on these things.
I know. And, you gotta be careful.
And so you open yourself up.
Oh,
so
you ask
so
you go, for mom so, advice. So good you, luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Don't
I'm
do
sure.
that. You just do what you think is best. Obviously. Somebody who knows a lot, you could ask them, but yeah, do not post on social media like, hey, what would you do about this? Because people have a million opinions about it. And
opinions are
so
like rear
judgy.
Ends, right? Yeah. But anyway, I don't know what I'm going to do with that thing. It's sitting in my garage. And in fact, my lovely wife said to me yesterday, what are we going to do about that jet ski, which is occupying space in our garage? I'm like, I haven't quite determined that yet. I'm still working on it, so just give me a little bit of space here. It's only been a month, and I'll try to get it figured out. Maybe I'll take it and park it in Ethan's garage, and then I won't have to deal with it. Out of sight, out of mind.
Even mine aren't in my garage.
Where are yours?
My father-in-law's.
Oh, okay. See if your father-in-law's got any extra space over there.
He probably does.
I want to get it fixed before I park it, so that if I wanted to take it out, say again this fall. Before the season is over, then I would have it in running condition. I don't know. It is what it is. Let's see here. We are going to get a little later in the next hour. We're going to talk to Scott Allen Curley, who Kim and I came across this guy yesterday, and I don't know how you feel about this. You can grumble that you walked both ways to school in the snow uphill. Kim teases me about that all the time. But I do believe that people of certain generations have a better work ethic than others.
I would agree.
And as a parent, I like to think I have been a model for my children in imposing a good work ethic. But there's a new study out that shows an entire generation of people are already burned out and they're ready to quit their jobs. And we're talking people that are, what, Kim, 25, 26 years old?
If that.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that with Scott coming up here at about 6:22 and see if we can kind of narrow down what's causing that. We'll be back here in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.